nearly 3 weeks with no word from him. Frank had been extremely upset by his father's death in July. Tom remembered a write-up of Jean Pearson's death. Even the Sunday Times of London had given it a few inches. John Pearson had been a wheelchair case, something like George Wallace of Alabama, and for the same reason someone had attempted to assassinate him. He'd been enormously wealthy, not quite as wealthy as Howard Hughes, but still with a fortune that went into hundreds of millions gained by his food products, gourmet, health, and diet foods. Tom had remembered the obituaries especially because it had not been determined whether he had committed suicide by pushing himself off a cliff on his estate or whether it had been an accident. John Pearson had been fond of watching the sunsets from a cliff and had refused to have a handrail put up because it would have spoiled the view.
Crack!
Tom flinched from the French windows and looked wide-eyed outside to see if his greenhouse's glass windows were still intact. Now the wind came, rattling something down the tiles of the roof. Tom hoped nothing more than a twig. Eloise was reading a magazine, indifferent to the elements.
Must get dressed, Tom said. You haven't a lunch date, have you?
Non, chérie. I'm not going out till 5. You are always nervous about the wrong things. This house is very solid.
Tom managed to nod, but it seemed natural to be nervous with lightning striking all over the place. He took the trib from the table and went upstairs and showered and shaved, daydreaming. When was old Plisson going to die? Die a natural death. Not that Tom and Eloise needed money. More money, not at all. But he was such a pain in the neck, classic, like the awful mother-in-law. Jacques Plisson was, of course, plumping for Chirac, too. Dressed now, Tom opened the side window in his bedroom and got a gust of rain-filled wind in his face, which he breathed in because it was refreshing and exciting. But he closed the window at once. What a good smell. Rain over dry land. Tom went to Eloise's bedroom and saw the windows were closed. They hissed with the rain now. Madame Annette was just tucking the bed cover properly over the pillows on the double bed where he and Eloise had slept.
Oh, secure, Monsieur Tom, she said, patting a pillow.
Finished, straightening herself up. Her rather short, sturdy figure seemed charged with energy, like that of a much younger person. She was in her late 60s, but she had many more years ahead of her, Tom thought, and the thought was comforting.
I'm going to take a quick look at the garden, Tom said, and turned and left the room. He ran down the stairs, out the front door and around to the back lawn. His dahlia stakes and their strings were still holding. The crimson sunbursts nodded their heads crazily, but they weren't going to be blown over. Neither were the frizzy orange dahlias, Tom's favorites. Lightning broke out in the slate-colored sky to the southwest, and Tom stood waiting for the thunder as the rain wet his face. It came with an arrogant, rending sound. Hollow. What if the boy he met the other night were Frank Pearson, 16 years old? That was certainly more like it than the 19 the boy had told him. Maine, not New York. When old Pearson died, hadn't there been a picture of the whole family in the IHT? There had been a picture of the father, anyway, whose face Tom realized he couldn't at all remember. Or had that been in the Sunday Times? But the boy of 3 days ago he remembered better than he usually remembered people. The boy's face was rather brooding and serious, and he didn't smile easily. A firm mouth and level dark eyebrows, and the mole on his right cheek, not large enough to show up in the average photograph, perhaps, but a mark. The boy had been not only polite, but cautious.
Tom, come in!
That was Eloise shouting from the French windows. Tom ran towards her.
Do you want to be hit by the lightning?
Tom wiped his desert boots on the doormat.
I'm not wet. I was thinking of something else.
Of what? Dry your hair.
She handed him a blue towel from the downstairs loo. Roger's coming this afternoon at 3, Tom said, wiping his face. Scarlatti for me. I must practice this morning and after lunch, too.
Eloise smiled. In the rain light, her blue-gray eyes showed lavender spoke-like radiations from their pupils, which Tom adored.
Had she chosen a lavender-colored dress especially for today, Tom wondered? Probably not. And it was merely a piece of aesthetic luck.
I was just sitting down to practice myself,
Eloise replied primly in English, when I saw you standing on the lawn like an idiot.
She went to the harpsichord and sat down, sat up straight and shook her hands, like a professional, Tom thought. He went to the kitchen. Madame Annette was clearing out the cabinet above the sideboard to the right of the sink. She had a dust rag in her hand and was wiping one spice jar after another from her perch of a three-legged wooden stool. It was too early for lunch preparations, and she had probably postponed her shopping in the